last week, Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak was charged with corruption-related offenses related to his involvement in a government-owned development company. The charge comes just 2 months after Najib lost re-election, ending the National Front Coalition's half-century of political dominance. To discuss the corruption scandal and the future of democracy in Malaysia, I'm joined now by Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute Tasmania. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
So what is Najib, Prime Minister Najib, alleged to have done?
Oh, that's very simple. So basically, Najib was alleged to have siphoned off somewhere between $4 to $7 billion from a state sovereign fund. And the money was channeled through a third party, and the money basically went around the world. And a portion of that money, approximately $800 million, ended up in his personal account at a bank in Kuala Lumpur.
Right. And why was he not arrested during the initial investigations? Was it from a lack of evidence?
No. He's currently under investigation for this scam called the 1MDB affair in Malaysia. But basically, no action was taken against him earlier because as the Prime Minister of Malaysia, he was extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. He controlled the entire government machinery, so people could not investigate this issue.
So the difference between that and now is that he lost his re-election bid so that they could then carry out these investigations more comprehensively.
Exactly. What happened was a lot of the investigation was done overseas. The most famous one, of course, was the investigation done by the American DOJ. They actually wanted to charge him. But under the American system, you can't charge a sitting head of government. Mm-hmm. So as long as he was prime minister, he was protected. So when he lost the election in the first week of May, he lost all the protection from the system. So now he's currently being charged for another scam, a much smaller scam called the SRC International scam. And that is worth approximately $10 million. Mm-hmm. But I'm quite sure in the coming months, he'll also be charged for the 1MDB affair.
So Malaysia has been led by one party for more than half a century. Is Najib's corruption sort of fitting into a picture of like a weak democracy or sort of like wider issues?
Yes, I think what we see in Southeast Asia is that there are two interesting countries in Southeast Asia, and that is Singapore and Malaysia. What is very unusual about these two countries is that they've been ruled by the same party since independence. So for Malaysia, until May this year, UMNO, the ruling party, they have been in power for about 61 years. And in Singapore, you have the People's Action Party. They've been in power since the late 1950s, and they're still in power today. I think what we see with these countries is that when you have one party in power since independence or for such a long time, the line between the ruling party and the government becomes blurred, so people really can't tell the difference between what is a ruling party or political party and the government. So mm-hmm. In the case of Malaysia, what you found was that most people in Malaysia prior to the recent election saw UMNO not only as the government, but also a ruling party stroke government. So right. People really can't tell the difference between a ruling party and a government.
And what was the general public's opinion of Najib before the election?
I think the general opinion of the Malaysian public towards Najib was very negative. Part of it was that for the past 5 years, the opposition in Malaysia has painted him as a corrupt politician, somebody who was involved in grand corruption. But the bigger picture was that he had a very unusual family. Members of his family were also alleged to be involved in a scam. So, for example, the wife, Rosma, was extremely unpopular. She was known as somebody who loved shopping. She spent millions of dollars on expensive designer handbags, clothing, jewelry. Mm-hmm. And the son-in-law was actually involved in money laundering. He used part of the money from the 1MDB affair to actually finance a very famous Hollywood film called The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah, right. That's crazy. With this defeat of this party that's been ruling Malaysia for so long, what might we expect to see in Malaysia's political future?
Well, I think what is happening in Malaysia now is really interesting. You have a 93-year-old prime minister yeah. who was a prime minister for 22 years, and I'm talking about Mahathir Mohamad. He was prime minister from 1981 to 2003. So this is the second time he's the prime minister. And what he's done is that essentially he's trying to clean up the system. So what is happening in Malaysia now is that they're sacking a lot of senior officials or forcing a lot of senior officials to retire early so that they can bring new people in.
Mm-hmm.
I think his ultimate aim is basically to restore the independence of all the state institutions and also to bring in a much younger generation of leaders who will not get themselves involved in grand corruption.
And how realistic is this goal in terms of the time frame we're looking at? How difficult will it be to kind of restore these state institutions?
I think it will be quite difficult. As I mentioned earlier, the problem with one party in power for a very long time is that the party itself actually captures all the state institutions. So I think we have to give the new Malaysian government a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I expect them to replace all the senior officials. And we're talking about somewhere between anywhere between 300 to 600 people. I expect them to replace them probably by the end of this year. And I expect real reforms to take place next year.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning to fill us in on the situation in Malaysia.
Thank you very much.